I've never tackled it. I've never looked at it, but I'm in this theme on mercy. And so I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but I'm going to read it and some of it and just make a few comments about it. But it's that psalm. You know the psalm very well because it has a refrain that keeps going over. And you have to watch yourself when you read it because you can get tired of it because it says, "For his mercy endures forever." And then they read one little line and then they say, "For his mercy endures forever." Now there's a reason why God had the psalmist write a song and keep repeating that his mercy endures forever. Well, and part of the reason would have to be, it's so clear as the nose on our faces, that God wants us to know that his mercies are not temporal. His mercies are not temporal. Now, see, I want to start running. Hey, excuse me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because what that means for this boy who stumbles from time to time, that his mercies, he won't turn to me and says, "I'm sorry, son, but I done run out of mercy for you." Hallelujah. No, but his mercy endures forever. I don't have time to. I'll do it later because the mercy of God, he promised to David. We'll get into that another day. But he promised David his mercies. And he said this to David: "I won't take my mercies away from you the way I took them from the one who was before you." We all know who that was. That was King Saul. Hello. And some would say David did even worse than Saul. But David had a promise. "I won't take my mercies away from you." That's another day. But the reason why that promise was because Jesus was coming through there, and what God said to David, we're experiencing today because of Christ Jesus. We'll get there another time. Let me get to Psalm 136, which reads the first verse. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever." The command to us is, oh, give thanks. Don't want to miss that. You have the refrain, "For his mercy endures forever." But the word, "Father, in the name of Jesus, bless now, Holy Spirit, your word as it comes to us in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? It didn't say because he's done anything yet. It says because he is good. Why do we give thanks to God? First and foremost, because of who he is. We worship God for who he is. Secondarily, for what he's done, because... And that's always second, because Satan came to God and says, "I'll get Job to curse you to your face based upon what I do to him and fiend it to be you." And so our worship of God is never what he's done first, but it's who he is first. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good." Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore by him," by Christ, "let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks." Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. I was driving around yesterday, And I was thanking the Lord for this, that, and the other thing. And just, I'm talking the little stuff. You know how you just, and as I'm driving around, the thought came through my mind. Do you understand something, son? I said, no, what? He says, there isn't anything, there isn't any time in your life where you ought not to be giving thanks and praise to God. That just came through my spirit. I said, yes, Lord, that is so true. Because I'm in everything, we're to give thanks. It says this isn't just my opinion. The scripture says, for this is the will of God. It's the will of God. Hallelujah. And so when I go to work and a piece of equipment turns on, I say, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Yes. You say, well, the equipment always turns on. Yeah, but it doesn't have to. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's just, no, let it not turn on. And then you'll see what type of funk you in. See what I'm saying? So I'm going to give thanks when it's working just normal. We take for granted. Beloved, we don't know how much we take for granted. You open up your eyes this morning. We take life for granted. Open up your eyes and you just hop on out the bed. You know, you're going to go do what you're going to do. But, beloved, you open up your eyes because somebody opened your eyes. Come on. Somebody opened your eyes. You don't just come out of the subconscious. I got friends that didn't come out of the subconscious. I got cousins. I got folk that didn't come out. They just give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 106 and 107 start off the same way. Psalm 106 actually starts off, hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord. It starts out with, praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Redeemed man owes God a debt of gratitude. A debt of gratitude. You've heard it said before, if God never did another thing for me in my life, I ought to be giving him thanks every day, all day, simply because I'm saved. Simply because I'm redeemed. My eternal future is secure. Amen? Thanks is to be given to God because of who he is. It is to be given because of his divine goodness, which stems from his divine mercy. Because God is good, he cannot be bad, nor can he do bad. Psalm 119, verse 68 says this, Lord, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Man's the exact opposite. I was about to say, as a matter of fact, I had written down in my notes, man can do good, but he isn't good. And I wrote it down and something said, No, back that up. No. Backspace. No, see, man is not good. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are identical. Pretty much Psalms. And it starts off this way. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. The psalmist says, there is none who does good. We keep going and say, no, not one. Right? Psalm 14, verse 3 says, they have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Speaking of their deeds, but Jesus then, speaking to the young man who asked him, said, good teacher, what mayest I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? Now, Jesus wasn't talking about his divinity when he said that. He was talking why the young man called him good teacher versus teacher. The young man was using good to flatter Jesus. You're a good teacher. Can you come on? Tell me how to receive eternal life. Jesus says, there is none good but God. There is none good but God. So when we read this, that the Lord is good. Goodness that defies comprehension and description. So verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I'm only going down to verse 9 now. Verse 2 says, oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. What's unique about this scripture is that the word for gods is Elohim. And it speaks, it's not speaking to necessarily that he's the God of idols. Because God isn't. Neither if an idol was anything, neither would God be its God. But it's speaking to those Levites and priests, those people of God, that God would be over. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Deuteronomy 10, 17 and 18 reads, or 17 reads, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Amen. Barnes' commentary goes on and says, he's the supreme God, the God superior to all that is called God, or that is adored by the nations of the earth, above all to whom the name God is ever applied. God is the God of gods. And we know that there is only really one God. There is no Allah. There is no Krishna. There is no Buddha. There is none of this cosmic presence and all this. No. There's only one God. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says that we understand that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him, through whom we live. Through whom we live. So we give thanks simply to the one and the only God. This is what verse 2 is saying. He goes on and he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. I want to draw your attention to something. Verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Verse 2 says, oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Verse 3 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. There you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity represented as he spoke to all three persons of the Godhead. And so the Lord here, the Lord of Lords, simply means that he's the ruler, the Lord or ruler of all who are in authority. All kings, princes, rulers, he is supreme over all. Now, see, we missed a real good opportunity to shout and run around Chantilly on that one, because he's the Lord of all who are in authority. That means President Obama, Chancellor Merkel, come on, Khamenei over in Iran. Come on. He is Lord over all of them. He's Lord over your boss. Hello. He's Lord over the CEO. He's Lord over them all. And so the scripture says, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Beloved, if that's true and he's Lord over everything, over all authority, you can go to work and love your job. Hallelujah. Why? Because you work as unto the Lord, not the Lord. He's Lord over all. He's the one who called King Cyrus and told him, you're going to set Israel free. And King Cyrus said, you know what? I feel it's in my heart. I'm going to, any one of you Israelites who want to go back up and rebuild the temple, you're free to go. Oh, not only that, here's all kinds of gold and silver. There's only one person who can do that. God did it. God did it. Oh, Lord, I wanted to so tell this. I was working last night, and this dear woman hates her job. She absolutely despises it. And I'm standing there, and I'm cleaning, and I'm thanking Jesus because I'm 50 plus. And, you know, 50 plus, you know, everything. Now and again, something starts to like that. And while I'm cleaning, I'm saying, Father, I just thank you that I can move. Glory to God. I'm picking this up, moving this, moving that. And I'm cleaning, and she's over there. When you gonna be done? And I looked at her. I was like, well, ma'am, you just hold on. Okay. Just hold on. I'm going to get it done. And I so wanted for her to know that I know you think you're working for whoever you're working for, but I'm working for the Lord. Everything I'm doing is as unto him. Aren't you glad he's the Lord of Lords? Aren't you glad? So a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago, I cleaned this lady's carpet. They were having a brand new a baby, and they wanted the carpet clean. And so I went in and cleaned the carpet. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. Great. I'm leaving work Friday night, going to go home, see my wife, sit down and talk and everything. And I get this phone call, and it's the lady. She says, I had a duct cleaner in today. And he shined his light on the carpet and said that the carpet had a pH burn on it. pH is simply a scale of acidity to alkalinity. And so she said that the carpet's burned. And I want to know what you're going to do to resolve this. It's a Friday night. I'm going home. Loving Jesus, everything. And I said, for real? And so, you know, hung up the phone, and then I went to my Lord. Where you go first? Where you go first? Come on, you go to him first. Listen, you go to the one nearest to you. Where is he? He right here. He heard every word. He knows my blood pressure. He knows when my body temperature raised up a little bit. He knows everything. And I said, I'm like, Lord, I cleaned her carpet, right? Yeah, here I am. I said, Lord, as far as I know, I did everything right. And so I did all this. I said, I'll be over tomorrow. And so yesterday I went over to the house, and her husband was there. And he let me in, went upstairs. I shined my light on the carpet. And he says, you see this here? I said, yeah. Do you see how this here is not like this over here? He says, yeah. I said, that's because this is wear. I've been cleaning carpet 26 years. This is wear. And if it was chemical, it'd be this way here, 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 because I use the chemical everywhere. And besides that, I didn't burn your carpet. He says, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we called you out here. And I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. And just that easy, the Lord of Lords, come on, I left the house. How? Thank you, Jesus. Praising the Lord. Just left it, Father. I just thank you for going before me and all, because it didn't have to go that way. Did not have to end up that way. And not only that, the young man said, well, he said that we have this other problem. He said, you need to rip out your floor and all this. Can you come look at it? And I went downstairs and I looked at it. I said, you don't need to rip out your floor. I'm going to tell you how to fix it for free. And I told him. And when we left, he's more blessed than before when I came. And all because his mercy endures forever. Forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. That speaks directly to Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation 19:16, it says that Christ had on a robe, and he has on a robe and on a thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. All right. Verse 4, it goes on, it says, to him who alone does great wonders. I'll tell you now. I just think about being with him, and I just get all giddy. I get like a little boy because I'm like, Lord, I mean, listen to what this scripture says, because it says something very unique. Now, there are some men on a field right now, and there's a pigskin flying through the air. And when someone catches one of these things up, we say, oh, wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that great? And then I come and read the Bible, and it says, to him who alone does great wonders. Who alone. This is talking about the nature of wonders no one here ain't ever done. Come on. He alone does these things. And so I say to myself, oh God, Father, you know, like, and I think it was Sherry Patterson said one time, I'm getting lost. And I wonder how he's going to let us among his creations. Like, will we be able to run around and look at the stars? I mean, have you seen some stars? I'm a real, you know, astrophysicist type, star lover type. I see God everywhere in it, and it's beautiful, and it's incomprehensible. His creation is incomprehensible. So how are we going to be standing there before him? That's going to be like, Lord, for real, how are you doing this? And this is just so wonderful. Our salvation is beyond description. So let me get back to this. It says, to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 72, verse 18 says, Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Who only does wondrous things. When he stretched out the universe, when he said, let there be light, and light took on form that, and just went on and on and on and on. Psalm 86:10 says, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. You alone are God. Not only in the cosmos, but God has done things here, like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. Noah's flood, where he loosed the foundations of the deep. And people, scientists always said, there's no way if it rained for 40 days and 40 nights that the earth would flood and go 15 cubits up above the mountains. They said exactly right, because there's water underneath the crust of the earth, and he loosed those foundations. And when that water came up, it covered all the mountains. It covered Ararat. Right? Things that only he can do. When he healed Hezekiah, Isaiah said, do you want a sign? He says, yes. Move the sundial of Ahaz. He says, there's nothing for it to go forward, because the sun always goes from east to west. Move it backward. I like to see a man jump up today and says, yeah, I did that. What great sign. And what a, no, God took it back 10 degrees. He not only stopped time like he did for Joshua, but he backed it up. He backed it up. And scientists have found that in the record. They say according to how the time works in the cosmos, they can detect even that it actually happened. Only he can do wondrous things. He can even heal somewhere and walk away without taking credit. Jesus would often heal people and then he'd gone off through the crowd. No one ever knew it. He's done it since then. The Pope years ago picked up some girl who had a hole in her heart or some defect and just hugged her or whatever and gave her back. And that same week, the hole closed up. People now think the Pope is a god. But we know who did it. But beloved, listen, he can do things like that to show you about his person, show you about his mercies. He can do that, turn and walk away, never even take credit. And beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't do that. If I heal somebody, you better believe you're going to know about it. Come on. And if you do something great, hello, come on, say, oh no, Pastor, it wouldn't be that way. Let it happen. Let it happen. Huh? Yeah, let it happen. And, you know, you sit on it for a month, you sit on it for 2 months, you sit on it for 3 months, 4 months, but brother, one day it's coming up. I did it. That's right. Look at me. Look at me. But him, he does wondrous things. Verse 5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. The writer is going through the creation narrative. He's taking us through this and assigning God's mercy to it. Now I'm about to get ahead of myself. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Let me stop but let me say this. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Proverbs 3:19 reads, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. Jeremiah 10 verse 12 reads, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. Barnes' commentary says the making of the heavens was a manifestation of mercy and goodness as furnishing an abode for unfallen and holy beings, speaking of the angels, as a dwelling place for redeemed sinners when they shall be removed from the earth, speaking of us in our eternal abode, and as by their order, speaking of the order of the heavens, because there's more than one heavens, right? Heavens, plural. By their order, their beauty, their harmony, and their happy influences tending to promote the happiness of man upon earth. In other words, God made it so that when you're driving home the way I am many times and I look up at the heavens, hallelujah. Make me just want to stop some time, pull off on the side of the road and get all by myself and say, God, you too much. Well, can't take this. My, look at this. This is too beautiful. My God, if this is this beautiful, what must you look like? Hello? Because all things have to have a reference point. And if his creation is like this, my God, beloved, do you know what we've been called into? No, we don't. No, we don't. All I can say, it is truly, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Beloved, listen, when we see him, I don't know. When we see him, the Bible says we're going to be like him. We're going to be transformed. I'm telling you, you won't be able to see him and remain the same. When you see him, you're going to be changed into his image and his likeness. My God. Therefore, death does not worry me. I don't walk around in fear of death. Don't walk around in it. I walk around thinking about meeting my Father. I'm going to meet my Father. I'm going to meet the one who I was in Utah the other day. Look, there's mountains everywhere. And I'm looking, I get off the plane or I drive to my location and I'm looking at the mountains and I'm saying, you did this and you love me? You love me? And he keeps telling me, he loves me. Come on, he tells you. He wraps his arms around you. So much so that you're ready to lay down your life for anything. What do you want, Lord? Verse 6. Listen. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. Here's where you and I come in. Come on. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. There you go. Come on, what are we made of? We're made of dust. We're made of the earth. And here we are because I find myself, as I get older, I think about all kinds of things I never thought about when I was young. I find myself thanking God for things that I never thanked him for when I was young. And so I find myself thanking him over and over and over again that I exist. That may sound funny to you, but listen, beloved, he did not have to create me, and he did not have to create you, but he did. Okay? And he created us in his image, which means that we will live for eternity. We will exist. All men, all women, all human beings will exist for eternity. Now, we want to exist with him, but he made us in his image, you see. And so I find myself thanking the Lord that I just now you say, well, that seems kind of weird. Not when you consider this. When you consider the reason for my existence. Now see, why do we exist? For him. For him. We exist for him. And he laid out in his word how we are to exist for him. Don't think so. Live the opposite and see what happens. It'll drive you mad. It'll drive you out of your mind. And so, at one point, I didn't exist. When I was brought into the world, I was conceived in sin. And so, the passage of scriptures we're dealing with right now have to deal with God as the creator. The second half is going to deal with God as the redeemer or the savior. And so, we'll get to that. When I say I was conceived in sin, we'll get to that next week. But I just thank the Lord. Why? Because it is his goodness. See, God says to me, he says, son, I created you for me. I created you, listen, to know me. John 17:3. Jesus said, for this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. God created you and I to know him. Period. Period. Adam and Eve fell away. God immediately stepped in to redeem them back to the purpose for which he made them. And here are you and I today. And it means more than anything else that could ever happen to you to know him. To know him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Isaiah said in Isaiah 42:5, he said, thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it. Now, let me tell you something. God is saying something here that is so. Listen, he's not saying I gave breath to Adam. He says, I give breath to the people on the planet, period. I give breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. God declaring who he is and what he's done. Isaiah 44:24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. I don't know how it's going to work, but I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm telling you right now, it fills my mind when I'm working throughout the day. I get the, my mind will go off and I'm thinking, whoa, what must it be like? Beloved, this is 70, 80 years of just wham and you're gone. I mean, you're just out, you're gone. This is not our home. What's that group, 429 made this song? This is not, this is not where I belong. Me, Jesus. This is not where I belong. Y'all heard that song? It's this group called 429. Man, I'm going down the road like, yeah, Lord, take this world, but give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. Oh, Lord, too hot. Amen. But you get my meaning. My God. And we're writing songs that captures people's imagination and push them out there. Why? Because that's where we're mind supposed to be. It's not just here. Just, oh, Lord, help me on Monday. Jesus, help me on Tuesday. Come on, beloved. We have heaven in our hearts. Yes. Ecclesiastes says that he put eternity in us. That man might not know what comes after him. He put eternity in. Even in unsaved people, they know there's something. I mean, is this it? You mean 80 years you're gone? Where do you go? Oh, yeah. There's a whole plan. It's eternity. So, okay, a couple more verses. Verse 7. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. Let me read what with this one. Now, we know, because the next two verses bear it out, that the psalmist is talking about the sun and the moon and the stars. We know that. But there are lights, stars, if you will, that I've read about. Just absolutely blow. A scale on which your mind cannot even comprehend. That the little bitty sun that we see every day, 1 million planet Earths can fit in that little bitty sun. 1 million of these. What I cannot. And our sun is a medium, small to medium size star. But 1 million of these planets could fit in it. And then you say, God, how big are you? You know, wow. You know, I'm like, whoo. Okay. So when the scripture says, when Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows forth his handiwork, it's true. Day unto day utters knowledge, and night unto night shows forth knowledge. He said about these great lights, as manifested in all that was followed from the creation and diffusion of light, all the beauty in the universe as seen, all the life, beauty, and vigor in the vegetable and animal world, all that there is of life and happiness in the universe, for there could be neither if darkness reigned everywhere. Light, the emblem of happiness, the source of joy, the producer in a great measure of the beauties of the universe, and the revealer of those beauties everywhere. How can man think of light and not praise its author? How can man think of light and not praise its author? Verse 8, the sun to rule by day. I got to the sun. I said, Lord, we know a lot. Put it this way. Man thinks he knows a lot about the sun. I'm going to say that. But they have a great spectrum of data collected about the sun. The sun to rule by day, for his mercies endure forever. Now, when it comes to the sun, I don't have to say a lot. You understand that without the sun, we're dead. We're there's. I mean, there's just like without the S-O-N, sun, everything is dead. Without the S-U-N, everything is dead. And it's like God put a picture in the sky and said, here, I'm going to show you as creator how important I am to you. There it is. The sun to rule by day. How do we know it's morning? You wake up in the morning. How do you know? You open your eyes and there's sunlight. That's how you know it's morning. Think about this for a moment. Think about waking up in the morning and there's no sunlight. Think about it. And you look at the clock and you tap. You say, something must be wrong. I'm going to go back to sleep, wait for the sun to come up. You go back to sleep. A few hours later, you wake up and it's dark. Your world just went upside down. God said, I'm going to put the sun there and it's going to rule not just the morning. It's going to rule all day. Come on, you know, you look outside. You can look outside and tell what time it is based upon how the sun is in the sky. Okay? Men go to work from sun up, at least I do, 6 o'clock. And when the sun goes down, I'm about ready to come in. But it's a 12-hour sun up, sun down. But the sun rules my day. One commentary wrote, by all the blessings of day as distinguished from night and darkness, by all that the sun in his daily course does to diffuse life, joy, peace, comfort. We're entering into what we already have. Daylight savings time changed. You know, this is the time of the year where people get depressed. And it's not because of the holidays they found out. It's because of the lack of sunlight. And so people go into a depression. They need to see the sun. Oh, do they need to see the sun? Yes, they do. Because the sun diffuses life, joy, peace, comfort, happiness on the earth, all that are warmed. I read that. I thought to myself, so many times I go to work in the winter and there's ice on my truck. But when the sun comes up, I know I don't have to chip all the ice off. I just know because the sun gonna hit my windshield and it warms my truck. And I'm so thankful that the sun just warms it and the ice begins to melt. The warmth of it. Cheered by its light, guided in labor, guarded from dangers. Do we derive an argument for the mercy of God? By all this, there is laid a foundation for his praise. So that when, listen, beloved, I don't have to win the lottery to wake up praising God. My football team doesn't have to win for me. Because you don't have a football team. But my team doesn't have to win because God is so good. Day by day by day. Last verse. Verse 9. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night. You know, you know, when Galileo made his telescope, it was because of the moon and the stars. And when he looked up, he peered out and he thought he saw these stars, but they kept moving. And then he realized, he said, stars don't move. Okay? He was looking at the moons of Jupiter and didn't know it. But he mapped them. And all that God put in, let me read this. As a proof of his mercy, by all the beauty of the moon and the stars in their course through the heavens, by all that there is in the harmony and order of their movements, by all that there is to make night less hideous. You ever been out on a moonlit night? Oh, my. You don't need a street light. You can walk everywhere. But wait a second. But what if God didn't put the moon there? You'd be walking out in pitch darkness, pitch blackness. But we don't think about that. We're just going out everywhere. Oh, la-dee-da-dee-dee. No, but the mercies of God, the scripture says, are over all his works. Over all his works. And so that The light of the moon is there to make the night less hideous and fearful. By all that is there to reveal a countless number of worlds whose existence could not have been discovered but for the night. It's so beautiful because you wouldn't see all the stars if it wasn't night, right? By all that there is to guide the mariner on the ocean. Did you know that the mariners, the seamen, would know where they were based upon the stars and the alignments of the planets? People would know where to go based upon the North Star. All of this God did when he put the moon and the stars in their courses, in their places. To guide the mariner on the ocean, enabling him to determine his position and to mark his course when on the deep, and therefore by all the blessings of navigation and commerce, binding the different parts of the world together, by all that there is in the North Star, fixed and true in guiding those who flee from bondage, by all these and kindred things without number, do we see the benignity, the goodness, the mercy of God in forming the moon and stars to rule by night. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's stand. Father, today we give you praise. Today we thank you for the mercies of our God, Lord, that are over our lives, not only from sunup to sundown, but while we sleep, you watch over and care for us. Father, we thank you now. We thank you, Lord, for mercies that, oh God, we little think of, but that are nonetheless your mercies that are overshadowing our lives. We bless you, we worship you, we thank you, and we adore you. We thank you that you have made us your own. You call us sons and daughters of God. Lord, you dance over us with singing. You delight in your inheritance. Oh, Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord, for bringing us unto yourself. And Father, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us this day in the sun, in the Lord Jesus. Lord, that all of the holy influences of our God, Lord, would bring to bear upon our hearts so much, Lord, of your divine nature as to keep us, Lord, in the palm of your hand. Lord, all day, every day. Father, I pray your blessings over your people now as we go from this place. Strengthen us and keep us in Jesus' holy and precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you real good.